Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 143, part 2, The Truth Causes Battles. Today is Sunday, April 18th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, a heavenly rest involves decision. The truth causes battles. Beware the snare. And a profit and loss statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
You see, a goat will eat anything you feed it. Any kind of junk, any kind of canned nonsense. The Bible says we are considered as sheep, and that we have a shepherd. That we have the Holy Spirit for guidance. Love your enemies, he says. Overcome evil, he says. And you're going to fight with very powerful foes. Very powerful foes. Let me say again, I'm not speaking of men, but of their errors. And at this time, we have, I think, very peculiar difficulties in this great contest for truth. Peculiar because there's very few that appreciate them. And I believe we have enemies of all classes, and all of them are much more awake than we are. The infidel's eyes are wide open. The infidel's eyes and their mouths are wide open. And they spread their doctrine. You don't see Jehovah's Witnesses sitting still. Man, if you could get them working for the post office, we could save billions. But when they make wonderful cab drivers, man, they know every address. Think about it. I talked to a woman, and she was come out of Jehovah's Witness, and she was so excited about following God, and she went to these meetings, she started preaching and everything, you know, and then she made a tape, and she was so excited, and a bunch of sisters got me together and says, "We want you to listen to this tape to make sure that it's not in error." And so I listened to the tape, and she had some things that were, well, she was a brand new Christian, but she was so on fire, and she was so in love with God from getting out of this Jehovah Witness thing that it was so much truth that they didn't know what to do with it. I said, "Sisters," I listened to that tape, and I says, "I think this woman is really anointed by God to convict us to get busy." I says, "All she did was give out a whole lot of truth after she found the truth." "Well, we're certainly glad to hear that. Well, we'll have to have her come back in again sometime." In the very near millennial future. Oh, God. Didn't tell the truth. Stand on there telling a bald-faced lie. "You're going to have them back in again." It upset the people there. They could hardly enjoy their cookies and coffee afterwards. And all she didn't condemn anybody, just say, "But get excited about Jesus. Start telling the truth about the truth." But we're not fighting flesh and blood. No, let me say that. We're fighting troublemakers, false prophets, occults, worldliness. See, I'm not afraid about and out infidels. Because you know where they're at. I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of myself, and I'm afraid of others that minister and they really don't tell the truth. So nobody gets free and they waltz around the truth. But I am afraid of infidels who are moderate, who bend the truth, who bend the light, who go along with sinning and half-truths, and they do it in moderation, who poison the church a little bit at a time and cause a division until it falls down. Do you ever have blocks when you're a kid and you're sitting over here, see, and you're sitting over here, and Freddie, he's just so industrious, he's setting all them blocks up, and you're sitting over there. Boy, I wonder what they'd look like when they fall down. And Freddie toddles over to get... And usually it's the older brother that does it. The older Christian that does it to the younger Christian. So a little... diapers on, and he waddles over there and falls on his face, getting another block, you know. It's top heavy, and he brings it back and gets on a chair and gets up on top, puts it up on top there, turns around to get another one, and Mr. Older Brother, Mr. Older Christian comes over and, very interesting, kick. Sometimes we get jealous of little Christians and we cause all kinds of grief. We cause all kinds of pain. We cause all kinds of woe because that's the way we are. And yet, we're not warring against each other. We're warring against principalities and powers, aren't we? Everywhere it's increasing, wherever you look, Romanism right now is on the upswing. candles of ritualistic nothingness are replacing the lights of the world, God's saints, because God's saints are too busy, you know, with teachings and with, you know, looking holy, but never really telling the truth. I say to that, you listening on the radio, wake up, Christians. Unmask the devil. Expose the conspiracy. Men of God, please stop worrying about being popular. And just tell the truth and expose darkness with light. Shine on a hill. Shout from the rooftops. And stop lifting up prosperity. And tell people that prosperity is when they start to love one another by telling the truth and stop preaching nonsense. No, you cold Christians, beware, don't blunt God's arrows, don't dull the sword of the Spirit, don't cushion the truth. God help us to end all such moderation. Let us be like Micah, as the Lord my God liveth, whatsoever my God saith unto me, that will I speak. I think right now, listening on the radio, there are some heroes of the truth out there, soldiers of Jesus Christ, that need to wake up. Because the enemies are still the same. Now, I woke somebody up out there on the radio land. Because you know why? The fight is not over yet. The great warfare of the truth is still as fierce as ever. Well, I'll say this, Christian. Draw your swords and stand up for God and His truth again. So the free grace gospel is not forgotten. Oh, the gospel is forgotten. Just forget all about it. Hey, we got this and we got that. Well, you know, let's go out and study the rocks over there in Jerusalem. And just, oh my, this, yes, just think. This was here during Christ's time. Wow, let's take this home and set it up on a table in memory of our trip. And so people are on trips all over the place. They're not on the road, they're not on the truth, but they're on a trip, a perpetual trip. It's traveling all over. And so you see, our warfare is perpetual. It's always going on. Don't think that you're ever... Don't lay down the sword. I think I got one here. Don't lay down, isn't this cute? Don't lay down the sword and just lay it down. You know, and push your helmet back and open up your armor, you know, and loosen the straps on your boots, you know, and get them halfway out. You know what I mean? Halfway out. Yeah, do things. People remember them. Get your feet halfway out. You ever do that in a movie? Then you get up and you can't get your shoes on, girls? Huh? Never? How many have done that? Okay. And you get up and the warning sounds and your sword is down there and your helmet's crooked and you get up and your vest is open, your... Huh? No, it's a perpetual warfare. It goes on all the time. It's going to go on, it says in the Bible, until then that our sword shall be beat into plowshares. And that's what it says. And that our spears will be beaten down, glory to God, into what? Pruning hooks? That does say that. And men shall not learn war anymore. See, you have to learn war. Tell you what you do. Now, when he comes up, I'm gonna teach you how to, you know, take advantage of this guy when he comes up. I just sort of walk up on him, you know, and say, "How you doing?" You grab his hand, and then you smack him in the face. See, you learn warfare. And a lot of times you learn it from your parents. You learn it from your peers. You learn it from other people. But you also learn it from the devil. You can take two innocent little babies, and they come from Christian parents that have been centuries Christians. You know what I mean? Centuries Christians. Now, I always have a picture of this, and I think they're beautiful people, and all like that, you know what I mean? But they're just beautiful people. There's no makeup on, and they're just, and they're great people and everything like that. And they have two little children. You know what I mean? And mommy leaves the room. They've been brought up in the ways of righteousness and everything. And the kid turns around. Nobody ever taught them everything because their parents are just love and freshness all the time. And the kid leaves, mom leaves the room, and the kid looks around. The baby brother's sitting there looking all kind of stupid. Man, he knocks him in his face. Who taught him to do with that? Did you ever catch your kids doing that? Did you ever do it? Hit somebody and then run and then act real innocent? And have your brother or your sister chase you and hit you and then they, Mom, you seen that. And the pruning hooks, and men shall learn of war no more, anymore. And until that day, the conflict is going to go on. Don't be fooled. We need to be, watch, it says, watch and pray. Well, why do you have to watch when you pray? Won't God protect you and everything? Yes. But the Word of God says, watch and pray. Now, Lord, I know the enemy's around here someplace. Now, if you were in a foxhole and bullets were coming over your head, wouldn't you watch and pray? Would you? If you heard a bush over here crickling, there's a little... Then you hear somebody over there, hey, G.I. Joe, something, you know. Would you close your eyes and pray? God, show me where he is at. Show me where he's at. Show me where the enemy is. Don't look now, but he's right behind you. Don't look now, but it's your big brother, Tommy. I hope, if your name is Tom, don't get convicted. I just used it. But if you're that kind of Tom, get convicted. Don't be fooled. We need to watch and we need to pray. Our warfare right now is more terrible than Israel, isn't it? And Amalek, isn't it? I think we're in a day of what? Charge position. Yeah. Swords drawn and spiritual eyes watching, listening for the Holy Spirit. And I didn't say parade dress. I said charge position. This is charge position. Here's the shield and here's the sword. And the helmet is on, and your shoes are all the way on. And they are laced and buckled. You are in charge position. And you're going to watch, and you're going to pray. Bible says that the devil is out to rob and to kill and to destroy. And I think a lot of times we paint over our sins with rights movements. With the ERA or the homosexual movement or the freedom of choice for baby swatters. Some have aborted as many as two or three babies. No love. Sort of a gross or roast love. I'll bet if you had a choice before that you were born, I think we'd hear of a baby's rights movement. But let me remind you again, our battle is not with people. Our battle is with Satan himself. Satan has painted over all these things and it says, oh, it's all right to do this. This is just the modern way. Don't be so old-fashioned. You know what? That paint will not stick. It'll shrink and it'll fall off and sin will be revealed for what it really is. You can't not gloss over filth. I mean, the surface is so grimy and rusty and filthy and rotten that there is no paint known to man that will cover it. It'll just fall off. And this, right now, the war is just beginning. We are at the very beginning of the war. Are you tired? Are you tired already of the war? This is just the beginning of the biggie. You are seeing the beginning of a hellish attack. Preacher, hear what I'm saying. You are at the beginning of a very hellish attack. Right now, we're just in little bush wars. Mark it down. This is the beginning of the end, and the hordes of hell, the Bible bears out what I'm saying, the hordes of hell are going to be loosed from the very pit. So anyway, here we have Amalek come against Israel. God's appointed two means of combating them. Now, he could have caused a great wind or a great pestilence of some kind, but it did not please him, the Bible says. He wanted to give human effort a try here, and he wanted to honor human effort. And so he said to Joshua like this, choose out your men and go fight Amalek. And then he told Moses, go up on yonder hill. While I honor human effort, I will still make men see that God doeth it all. So Moses goes up on yonder hill and he stands there in prayer. Hold up thy rod, he says, while the soldiers of Joshua rush into fight. And Moses shall plead, and you shall be utterly and unitedly successful. Your prayer, Moses, without the sword of Joshua shall not prosper. And the sword of Joshua without the rod of Moses shall not be effectual. That's two ways of fighting sin, hard blows and hard prayers. I just said it in a few messages back. You got to have word with the work and work with the word. And you know what that equals? That equals faith. Listen, you can pray all you want for revival unless you minister openly the truth. It will do no good. Oh, God, give us a revival. And we try to sound so religious. Give us revival. We seek it so. Huh? And the lie is there. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high and heavenly places. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the things that bother people. God, send us a revival. As sister so-and-so says and brother so-and-so says, we need a revival. And a lot of times we're meaner than hell itself while we're praying. We're not telling the truth. God says, I can't send revival. There's iniquity in your heart. You just won't tell the truth and you're meaner than can be. I mean, you know, what are you praying for revival? Why don't you just pray to drop dead to yourself? I mean, you know, do people a favor. Well, it just comes down to that we just got to tell the truth. And it's quite hard to be very truthful with yourself. But you know when you do it, and I'm just telling you what I went through to get these different messages. When you do, you have the rest that remains. And that's all you need. You need the rest that remains. How many millionaires right now would pray, give them millions for rest. Peace of mind. You can pray all you want to, it'll do no good. The gospel must be preached, and love preached with the truth must be active. Doesn't your mother tell you the truth? Didn't your mother love you? But she told you the truth. If she loved you. Does your father, your earthly father, tell you the truth? But he loves you. Maybe you're out there and you're mad at your mother or your dad. Maybe they just told you the truth and the truth was too much for you. They still love you. And let soldiers lay down all the weapons and stand and pray for victory. Will they have it? No. No. Okay, hey, enough of this fighting. Lay down the weapons. Take off the boots. Take off the hat. We're going to get into prayer meeting. Come on, everybody down on your knees. That's it. That's it. That's it. Fold your hands. Okay, in a big circle now. Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, start out in prayer, would you please? Thank you. We're going to win the war by just prayer. No. You don't win it by just prayer. You win it by praying and doing. A prayer don't mean nothing until you get out and do. Lord, feed all of Ethiopia. Thank you. While you're sitting there eating a cream pie. Well, we prayed about it. I don't feel guilty a bit. God will take care of them. Want some ice cream on that? Oh, sure. More coffee? Oh, please. Thank you. I feel so good about myself praying for all them Ethiopians. God will answer. He's faithful. But you aren't. We aren't. Because, see, the love isn't active. See, it's an active love that does it. I mean, you can talk all you want to until you get to doing something, man. It doesn't mean a thing. See, it's what you do. See, you lie by the basis of what you act out. But will they have a victory by praying for it? No way! And so what am I saying here? We have a work to do. If we are the Lord's elect, we better do it. There are no sluggards in God's army. You pass out tracts? Well, then do it earnestly. You ever seen people pass out tracts and just pass them out? You don't want one? Go to hell then. You want to read this word? Denying the word? Well, you're headed for hell. Well, just go ahead. You turned it down. Too late now. Get out. It's the truth, isn't it? That's the kind of thing that goes on in our heart when people don't receive a tract. A guy got up one time and gave a testimony like that. And the guy gave him a hard time over the tract. Sometimes when people give you a hard time, they're having a hard time saying yes. When I call for food or I go to somebody and they say, well, I give, but, you know, I mean, I think some of these people are taking advantage and I this and that and so on like that. And I say, well, probably what you say. And I'll agree with your adversary quickly while they're in the way. I say, probably what you say is true. And on the other hand, there's a lot of them that have need. Can I call you tomorrow? Okay, I'll give you a buzz tomorrow. And then they have. Then you don't call them tomorrow. You call them the day after. So they've had two sleepless nights. And you're praying about it. They say, oh, yeah, well, listen, I've been thinking over what you said, and I got a butt. Come on down and take out the stuff over here. Okay, goodbye. And they give it to you. Then on the other hand, someone's real sweet. Oh, brother so-and-so, if it was in our power to help you, I tell you, we really would help you. But right now, as it is, but in the very near future, and I'm talking very near, don't hold your breath, we are going to help you. No, we've already talked about it. We are going to help you. And you just give us a ring, maybe two, maybe three, oh, make it a month, and I know we'll have it all straightened out. They'll never give it to you. And the other guy that is just totally having a hard time, he's having a hard time saying yes. You can't tell by what people say. And you know how you handle that kind of thing? No, you wouldn't tell a fib to me, would you? No, I'm just kidding. I know you wouldn't. I know I can just appreciate you doing this thing. And I'm going to call you in a couple days to see how it's going. Chances are they'll never answer the phone. How many hearing this? But do you preach? Do it earnestly, preacher. Do it unto the Lord. Do it joyfully, not as a duty. You ever see a preacher when it's a duty to get up and preach? Downstairs and calm down. Oh, no, another day. Another. Huh? Duty? No joy in it at all. This is duty. You got to get up and, man, I do this for $54,816.19 a year plus my house and car. Huh? I'm crazy. Huh? It's the way it is, isn't it? Without Jesus in it. Oh God, that'd be hard to get up without your heart into it. Without loving the Lord and without doing it just for the Lord. Without all the trials that go with it, what would you have to preach about? Find out what your job is, you listening on the radio, and then do it. It's not sitting and saying, I'm blessed. Have you been around that crowd? Hi, Sister So-and-so, how's it going? You meet him in the cafe. Oh, I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed. I am blessed. Well, that ends the conversation. I mean, what could you possibly tell them that would bless them? It just kills it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? And you say, bless you, sister. Oh, I am blessed. God's been blessing me right along. Me, bro. Oh, sorry, I didn't discern that right away. And it's all that kind of thing, see? God didn't make you to sleep and to slumber, and it's almost a quarter to two again the next day. God didn't make you to be a sluggard. Get up out of that bed. God didn't make us to cause problems. He made you for an end, especially us Christians, and I think we ought to find a place and fill it. But let's take a peek here in closing here at Joshua. Here we have a man of war since his youth, trained, able and willing. And then he has to take from this motley crew of ex-slaves that never even held a sword before. Here they are, get the picture. These are slaves, I mean, they go way back 400 years. Here they are, and they have the weapons that were washed up from the Red Sea, and they have this weapon. Well, which end of the sword? Well, you know. And they're tripping over their swords, and they got the thing on, you know, and the helmet's on there, this is the kind of people he's got. Josh, a man of war. And here he is stuck with these poor, miserable creatures, and here they are, the cowards. And they're at the Red Sea. Didn't they run? Man, they were running. The rod of God opened up the Red Sea. And like I said, their weapons were the ones that were washed up from the Red Sea. And yet, Joshua found the strongest and said to the strongest, follow me. What a ragged regiment. I mean, he had the best of nothing. That makes sense? Yeah. No order, No fighting knowledge, no uniforms, tripping over their swords. Can't you see them? Tall guys and short guys are hitting, bumping each. Get going, good, come on. Huh? They're in their swords, you know what I mean? Their shields are dragging. Huh? I mean, the Amalekites were ready to take on 3 million of them. And you know what that showed me? It showed that we all are passing over in the desert. But if we're not in one accord, the devil isn't afraid of you at all, because he knows there's division and he knows he can pick you off and nobody will even care. They were so sure of the victory, and they said, let's go have a ball. And these people are nothing. You just walk up and, hey, turn them, stab. Then you chop one's head off. Look at that. Huh? And so they started to get all puffed up in this, see. And so what I'm saying to all you children of God, you listening on the radio, listen to this tape. You may know very little about the tactics of war. You may hardly know anything. You might not know which end of the sword to use. Maybe your enemies will overcome you and overthrow you in arguments and in fancy words and annihilate you in logic. But you see, you are the children of God. You are more than a match for your foes because you have learned to tell the truth. And it says in the Bible, you shall live to see every foe defeated. Only fight on. And it says, fight the good fight with faith and with faith in God. And you shall see the victory, the Lord says. Just go ahead. You don't have to be an expert. Just pick up the sword and be willing to follow who I've anointed. And you follow him and it will come to some kind of a victory for you. And so look at the battle here. Amalek rushes in, shouting and yelling and jumping, scaring. They got knives in their teeth, you know, and they got all these battle scars all over them, and they got ears that are hanging out. And they just come in there like that. Well, what happens? He's thrown back. No, he's going the other way. But wait again. Now he's coming on strong. Now he's running. Now he's coming on strong. Now he's running. Now he's winning. Now he's losing. There he goes. Here he goes. Well, what's happening? Again and again throughout the day, the battle wavers. What's going on? What's going on? Hey, look up there on the hill. Woof. And you look up on the hill. Whoa. There's Moses up on a hill, and his hands are outstretched. Amalek looks up there all of a sudden. And here's Moses up there with his hands up in prayer and praise to God. But every time he lets them down, the battle changes. They start to lose. Every time he puts them up, it gets them on the run. And so Amalek has a temporary victory. But when the rod of prayer is lifted up, look out, Amalek, look out, devil, look out. And each time the hand of prayer was held up. Do you hear me? My God, my God. And he puts his hands up. The devil has to run. I don't know how many times I've said, my God, being down here in this ministry. Late at night, nobody around. You see, what happened here is that Moses, a type of Christ, was an intercessor. But he was aged, and he becomes weary of standing so many hours. And so they roll over a stone, and they sit him down on a stone. They put him in sit position. And he starts to weep out in prayer. And he cries out, my God, my God. Does it sound like a hill far away? Like another little scene? Huh? My God, my God. Does it sound like Jesus? interceding. And so his arms, after all these hours, they start to droop and his hands are hanging down. But all of a sudden his eyes are flashes of fire and up his hands go. And that's the time he has a sacrificial prayer. You know what? His prayers start to dart like heaven. Just dart towards heaven. Dart towards the target. And they hit the target. Now the body comes to help. And first then Aaron holds up Moses' hands. His hands are hanging down. Aaron says, God, we got to get his arms up. He walks on behind him and picks up these heavy old arms and he lifts them right up there. When he gets tired, then Hur comes in and he holds up his arms. Sometimes you need to hold up the leader's arms. Not so you can rob him, but you need to hold up his arms. Not so you can rob him of his peace. Not so you can rob him of his joy, but you need to lift up. Come on, we're in the middle of a battle right down here. I'm looking to win it, aren't you? But look, his arms are like stone. Nobody's holding him up. What's happening? And his hands are not trembling anymore. And the rod is high and lifted up. I'm telling you right now, they're spreading victory on the rod. Look at him. He's looking up there and Amalek looks up and he's in the battle. He looks up. Hey God, he's never going to put his arms. Put your arms down, he's yelling. Put them down, put them down. And the whole chorus of guys are yelling. Put them down, put them down, put them. But now they're stone. He's got his second wind and now it looks to me like God is the one that's holding them. God is the lifter up. God is the one that comes in at the final hour. God is going to get the glory. But now his friends, all of them, they start to assist in zeal. Isn't that great when friends assist when they see God on the move? Wow, God really is moving. Let's help him out. Sure. We'll help you. Just put him right up there. And they didn't need help anymore. You just got him up there. They could get up on top of the rod and sit on the rod. And it would still be up there. Why is that? Because God is going to get all the glory. But anyway, closing here, Amalek is on the run. And his troops, it says, are falling and stumbling and yelling, Mama, Mama, these great big men, you know, Mama, Mama. And they're slapping them on the seat with their swords. And still Moses holds up the rod until the last of the foes, it says, goes down and is dead. And Joshua returns with shouts of joy. You see what I've said here today? We must have prayer as well as an effort. It takes an effort, doesn't it? And preachers, we have no success until we get down on our knees. Until you get into prayer and fasting. You ain't going to see no victory. None. If we don't know how to wrestle with God on our knees, we'll never be able to stand. We'll find it hard to wrestle with men on our feet when we're in the pulpit. Because your efforts must be backed by prayer. Now, you know, we never read where Joshua's hand got weary from the sword, but Moses' hand got weary from holding the rod. And the more spiritual the duty, the more we are likely to tire of it. Well, we can preach all day, but we can't pray all day. Well, we need to be in perpetual prayer. We need to be in the attitude of prayer. Well, what is prayer? What is prayer? What is a prayer unto God? It's seeing the needs of people and meeting the needs of people, and that is a prayer. That's what prayer is, as you know. Acting out what God has put in. It's an active, progressive prayer. It's an answer to prayer. God prayed that. I pray that they'll do this. Well, we don't care what God prayed a lot of times. We We want our prayer, our particular prayer answered. Not his will be done, our will be done. I think we ought to get together in twos and threes and six and twelves and hundreds and thousands. It says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the prayers. You can pray wherever you're at. Wherever you are. Pray in tongues. Pray in your own understanding. You can sing in tongues. You can sing in your own understanding. But for God's sake, tell the truth. I think we have a heritage that's passed down from the martyrs and the saints gone by to preach the gospel. Let me speak today and make a point here. One that intercedes forever for us while we're in the valley, and Christ Jesus is on the hill interceding. And so he pleads for us, and so shall we win. Let me close with this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Bible says, these things that you see me do, Jesus said it. These things that you see me do, you'll do, and even greater things you will do. And you know why? Because Jesus is interceding for you while you're doing it. He's interceding while we're doing. If you're busy doing, God is busy praying. Jesus is busy praying. Interceding forever. He's praying for you to make it because you're in a battle. You're only in a battle when you get to doing things. And you're only in a battle when you get to telling the truth. And when you start meeting the needs of people, sometimes it's just too much truth. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you're listening on the radio. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. Like never before. We are winding down right now. I mean, there's no holds barred in my ministry now. I'm going to go on. I'm going to pray for the grace of God. Just keep me going. Last night was the first night I had slept in four nights. You say, well, you look like it. Well, hey, can't have everything. But I know I'm in a battle.